Parshas Nasa begins with the census of the Levim to figure out how many Levim are over the age of 30, from the age of 30 to the age of 50. Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Tanoim that there's another pasuk that says that they join the group of the Levim doing the Avodas HaLevim from the age of 25. So how come it says over here the age of 30? So the Gemara answers, they apprentice for 5 years, and then they function as Levim at the age of 30. They come to start their training at the age of 25. So it takes 5 years to prepare. And the Gemara Chulin has a stira, there's a pasuk in Daniel, that when the Jews were sent into the Gaulis Bavel, so the Jews were much brighter than the Nachrim. So the king of Bavel used them as not politicians, what do you say?
Advisors?
Yeah. Diplomats. They were acting as diplomats because they were bright, but they had to go through a course to prepare, so the course took 3 years. So Akamabi here took 5 years, and over there took 3 years. So everything takes the same amount. You go to graduate school for medicine. So how many years does it take medical school? It takes a long time. If you take courses in social work, it doesn't take as long as medicine. Some things take longer, some things take shorter. So the Avodas HaLevim, music, I guess, the Avodas HaLevim was more complicated, so that took 5 years. And diplomacy and politics, that took 3 years. So the Gemara and Chula in the end of the first parak has a machlekes hatanaim, which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule. Let's say by learning. If a person is learning in a kollel for 3 years, and he's ain rois him in bracha, so is the norm 3 years when a person is mature and he's studying a certain discipline? The norm is 3 years, and the Avodas HaLevim is the exception to the rule. Or is the norm in all other graduate programs is really 5 years, and the exception to the rule is the diplomacy, because politics is easy to learn. So that's a machlokes hatanaim, which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule. So the Gemara says, "Ma'naf kamina la'alacha." If a fellow was learning in the kollel for 3 years and he wasn't raising him in bracha, is not doing well, do we tell him? Do we tap him on the shoulder and tell him, "Go get a job somewhere else. You're not doing maslichan learning"? Or do you say no? It takes 5 years really to pick up in learning. So even if he's not successful the first 3 years, let him learn another 2 years. Maybe then he'll pick up. Maybe it'll take 5 years. So some of the Achrayim suggest that maybe this is the teretz on Tosfos Kasha. The Rashash has this, but several other Achrayim have it in their Sfarim on Eben Ezra. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Mishman Esrei L'chupa. Supposed to get married at the age of 18 to fulfill the mitzvah of having children. And then there's a Gemara in Kiddushin, the end of the first parak, where the Gemara says if a person is 20 years old and he's not married yet, so min hashamayim, they're upset at him. They're going to give him a curse. It's terrible. So Tosfos asks the kasha, but there it says 18, how come over here it says 20? So Tosfos answers, he's supposed to get married at the age of 18. You don't marry the first girl that you go out with. It takes a while, so it may take up until 2 years. It's unreasonable if the guy starting to date at the age of 18 is going to take him 2-3 years till he gets married. That's unreasonable. He's being too picky. So that's what the Gemara says. That's 18 is when you start, and 20 is you should have finished the wedding. It shouldn't take more than 2 years. That's what Tosfos answers. So the Rashash and others suggest that the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Chomish leMikra, Ben Esav leMishneh, Ben Chamesh Esrei leTalmud. That it doesn't make sense to teach children Gemara at such a young age, before the age of 15. They really don't understand it. You're translating the words, they're just saying over the words, like a parrot. But they really don't understand. The mind is not really attuned to understanding Talmudic logic until the age of 15. We once had the yeshiva used to have a Yom Iyun for the Smicha students at the beginning of the year, in September usually, and they had Rebbe speak about different topics, not really outright learning. So I remember one year there was a discussion about Derech HaLimud, so they had three Rabbeim speaking. They had Rabbi Parnas, should live and be well, was a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and Rabbi Alpert, who passed away, Rabbi Nissen Alpert died young, and I was the third speaker. So the Yeshiva was learning brachas that year. So we thought the best way to bring out the difference in Derech HaLimud is we should present the first Mishnah brachas. How would I present it? How would you present it? How would the third speaker present it? What questions would they ask, and what would the discussion be like? So that's what I did with Rabbi Alpert, and Rabbi Parnas had a different approach. He didn't want to go along, so he was talking about his career teaching. So he said when he first started teaching, the first couple of years, everything was going well, till around the third or the fourth or the fifth year when he was teaching, the students were asking murderous questions, and he didn't know how to deal with them. So he was telling the whole story. So he was trying to figure out he became senile after 4 years, that he didn't know how to deal with the students. He realized not that he became senile. The minhag always used to be that children would start high school. He started first year high school teaching. So the children became bar mitzvah, and they would start high school at the age of 13. I remember I became bar mitzvah in the summertime. I started high school over here. I had Rabbi Pendler the first year. I had Rabbi Yosef Weiss the second year. So at the age of 13 or 14, you don't really understand Gemara. So after 3, 4, 5 years, when they moved Rabbi Parnas up and he was teaching the third year high school, and the students were 15 years old, that's when their mind is ripe enough to understand how to learn. So he said that's when they were asking murderous kashas. They didn't know how to deal with it, so he was telling us how we solved the problem. So that's interesting. So that's what the Mishnah says, that you shouldn't start teaching Gemara to children until they really reach the age of 15. Before that, they're not really, unless you're the only guy, unless you're a very talented child. But it's not right in all the yeshivas. They teach the children Gemara at a young age. They develop a distaste for Gemara because they don't really understand what's going on. So they have a hang-up that they're not happy about learning Gemara. So, on the first page in Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra, it says that the obligation to fulfill Piri Ribi, to get married, have children, begins at the age of 18. So the Bishmuel is a standard commentary on the side of the page in the big Shulchan Aruch. So the Bishmuel quotes on the Rishayin, and why aged 18? Why don't you say at the age of Bar Mitzvah, he's Mukhiv to get married and have children? So he answers, if he's going to get married at the age of 13, he won't be able to learn. You have to give him a chance. Getting married is a mitzvah to have children, but it has to fit in with your whole plan in life. So we want people to learn Torah. So we let them learn from the age of 18 for a couple of years, and then we tell them to get married. It'll be unreasonable to have them get married at the age of 13, and then he's going to have to go work and make a living, and it's going to take away from his learning. So the Rosh Hashanah and other Achronim say, how long does it take the fellow if he starts learning Gemara at the age of 15, ben chamesh esrei the Tana, how long does it take to pick up a derech and learning? So according to the Tana, that it takes 3 years, he'll pick up the derech in 3 years, so he should get married at 18. According to the other Tana, that it takes 5 years, the Tanoim had a machlekes, which is the norm and which is the exception to the rule. Whether 3 years is the rule and 5 years by the Levim is the exception to the rule, or 5 years is the rule, and the 3 years by the diplomats and Sefer Daniel, that's the exception to the rule. So that's what a few Gedolim suggest, that maybe that's a machlekes hatanan, whether age 18 or age 20, from the time that you start learning Gemara. By many people today, they don't start learning Gemara till after 15. They don't start learning Gemara at 15. They didn't really understand Gemara. So then it takes longer till they've developed a derech and learning, and then you say it's time to get married. I remember once one of the rabbanim from the neighborhood, he passed away already a long time ago. One of the rabbanim from the neighborhood, his wife taught in Breuers, and he was already older, and his wife was older, so they had mandatory retirement at a certain age. So it was Parshas Nasai, and this rabbi was speaking, and in the Parsha it says that there's mandatory retirement in the Midbar. The Gemara says in Chulma that it's not a din l'doros, and the later generations, the Levim didn't have to have, they weren't carrying the Mishkan from one location to the other. This mandatory retirement at the age of 50 was only in the Midbar. The Doris, there is no din like that. I remember this rabbi was upset why they retired his wife from school. So he said, on Parshas, he was holding a drasha. So he said, in our religion, there's no such thing as mandatory retirement. That's the Parsha says that there is. It was a Hirasha. Okay, it was a Hirasha. They can't say there's never any mandatory retirement. That's in today's Parsha. Then the Torah has a shlishi. The Torah has a shiluach tmei min ha-machna. Min ha-machna. The word machane appears three times in psukim aleph and beis in chapter hay. And the three different tmeim I mentioned, tzuruv, v'chalzav, v'chatomi, l'nafesh. So the Gemara says that there are three machnas, machna shchina, machna levia, and machna yisrael. So machna shchina, the azora, all tmeim are prohibited to enter, even if he just touched the sheretz. Even if he just touched a sheretz and he's only a rishon l'tumah. Sheretz is an avatumah, by touching he becomes a rishon l'tumah. The harabayis has the status like machna levira, so only one who has a tumah hayotza ol migufoy, zav zavi yoledes and mitzora, on a balkeri, so that's called zav. Zav is not allowed to be zav or mochomer. Mochomer then is zav is tzorua. So the Zav is also b'machna levia, but a Tomei Sheretz or a Tomei Mesiz, Minator is muta no machna levia. But the Rabbanon, they divided machna levia into three harabais, into three sections, and they said that Tomei Mesiz is not allowed to enter the inner section. But on the level of their Isa, only one who has a Tomei Yotz on the Megufoi is also b'machna levia. And Saruah is also even in Yerushalayim, or in all Ayoras Hamakafis Chaimas Yisro Binun. Also the Mitzaroyim Amishtalchem. That's a mochomedikat form of Tumah Yotza Megufa. One might have thought that it should be less chomer because Zab Zav Yoledes and Mitzoro is a Tumah Yotza Megufa. There's a Riyah's Dam, a Riyah Ziva, whatever it happens to be. And the person becomes Tommy right away, a Mitzora has a, something has a Riyah, something happened on his body, but he doesn't become Tommy till the coin declares him as Tommy. And his man is that even if a person has Negat Tzoras, but if you don't have a coin declaring him as Tommy, he doesn't become Tommy. We have the practice today that the Teferis Yisrael HaMishnayis on the Goyim points out on the first page. How come his man is that nobody goes to a coin if they seem to have a Negat Tzoras? So he quotes some G'dayla Musay that since he can't get rid of the Tumas Tzaraas, because he don't have any Karbonis today, and if the Mitzorah is, if the Kohen is going to declare him as Tummy, he's going to remain Tummy for the rest of his life until they build the Beis HaMikdash and pick Karbonis. So that's why the practice is that we don't, our Hanhog is that we don't have a Kohen declare him as Tummy because he's not going to be able to creep out of it. He's not going to be able to become Tor. There's a big machlekes in Rishonim, the Minchas Chinuch talks about it. If lo yovel tocha machane, lo yitames machaneim, if a tomei enters the Azara, or a tumei yotzel megufa enters the Harabais, or Mitzora enters Yerushalayim, so he gets malchus. Lo yovel tocha machane. What if a Mitzora enters Ayoras Hamakof Eschaima? Well, Ayoras Hamakof Eschaima are called machane, so the lav lo yovel tocha machna lo yitames machaneim applies to them, even if the mitzora enters ayoras hamakof eschaima. Maybe you should say, no, it's only an essay, yishalchu. Maybe it's only an essay, because it really, ayoras hamakof eschaima really do not have the same status as Yerushalayim. So that's a big machlokes in the Rishonim and Mishnayis. Rabbi Yosef Karo lived in Tzvas in the 1500s, and the Mabit was together with Rabbi Yosef Karo on the same Beis Din. Most of the time they agreed, and once in a while they had machlokes, and each one wrote a chibur on the Rambam. Rabbi Yosef Karo wrote the Kes Mishnah, printed on the side, and the Mabit, Moshe Detrani, wrote the Kiryas Sefer, which is a separate Sefer. Now they printed it in the back of the Rambam. But it's not as valuable as the Kes Mishnah. Kes Mishnah gives it the makif, every line in the Rambam. Is it a Pasuk? Is it a Bavli? Is it a Mishnah, Tosefta, a Yerushalmi? Is it a Tshuvas HaGoyim? Does the Ramban agree or disagree? Does the Rashba agree? Does the Magen Mishnah? And And the Kesem Mishnah give you everything. The Kira Sefer doesn't always give Makaris. He gives funny. Whenever, as I say, when someone is learning in a Kotel, he has to say a Chabura. So you look in the Kiryas Sefer, there's always going to be something strange that you'll have to give a Chabura to break your head to explain. He always has funny things. I don't know, one of the few Machloikis that was famous between Rabbi Yosef Kara and the Mabit was where the Kedusha's Perish Vis is Noig and Perish, the group is Tadu Shal Nochri. If a Goy owns Palestinians, owns farms in Eretz Israel. So the Peres that grew up in Sodu Shal Nochi, do they have Kedusha's Peres Viz? Rabbi Yosef Kara interpreted the Sifra as saying that not. Voices Shabbos Oz Lachem, Lachem Aloli Yakum. So what does it mean, Lachem Aloli Yakum? Rabbi Yosef Kara interpreted that line in the Sifra that if the Peres grew in a farm that belongs to the Nochi, it does not have Kedusha's Peres Viz. And the Mabit disagreed, he gave a different pshat. Different pshat. So the Chazan Ish. So it was Yodua for years. The Psalm always was like Rabbi Yosef Kara, that there's no Kedusha's Perish Viz in Peres that grew Besarish al Nachri. And the Chazan Ish insisted that you have to pass on like the Mabit, that the Mabit was a bigger Godel than the Kesem Mishnah. I don't know. They look in the Svarim, it doesn't look like that. I don't know what the Chazan Ish got so carried away about. The Mabit, the Seif on the Rambam is very, always strange. Kesem Mishnah is normal. He has all the normal Marmakaris. So the Mabit has in his Sefer on the Rambam, Kiryas Sefer, he writes, he thinks, he doesn't quote the Rishonim Adam Achlekes, but he get Malkus. If the Metzorah enters Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, is it just an Esev Yishalchu? Or is it a Lav also Lo Yovel Torch HaMachne? By Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim. So he writes, he thinks that all the Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim have exactly the same din as Yerushalayim, and the Ikare din you can eat Kochim Kalim. And all Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, but it's just impossible because of the following. Because Shchitas Karbonis has to take place in the Azara. Shachar is Ben HaBakal Lefnei Hashem. That's the beginning of Ayikro. All Shchita. Kochi Kochmi after Shech Bitzofen. And the right hand side of the Azara, Kochim Kalim, anywhere in the Azara, okay. But the Shchita has to be in the Azara. So if you're going to Shech the Korban in the Azara, then you're going to travel to take the Kochim Kalim and eat it, and what are the Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim? It'll be Nipsal B'Yotze. So that's why it never happens. Because it'll be Nipsal B'Yotze, but theoretically, you should be able to eat, that's what the Mabit thinks, theoretically you should be able to eat Kochim Kalim in all Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, because it has exactly the same din as Yerushalayim. So that raises a problem. So if it has exactly the same din as Yerushalayim, so you should be allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. In Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, because if you take Maaser Sheni, if you took Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim, you take it out, it doesn't become Nipsal B'Yotze. So if you have Maaser Sheni, why shouldn't you be allowed to eat it? And Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, there ain't no such thing. You can't eat Maaser Sheni. And Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim. So the Mabit answer is no. The Mokam for Achilas Maaser Sheni has to be Mochomer than the Mokam for Achilas Kachim Kalim. Kachim Kani can eat in all Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim, they have the same din as Yerushalayim. But for eating Maaser Sheni, that's Mochamor, even though it's not a carbon. You don't have to eat it in the Beis HaMikdash, you can eat it, I don't know. So he says, but because the Pasuk says, you should eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and it should lead you to become a Yerei Shamayim. That's how the Pasuk reads. So there's a Tosis in Baba Basra, I think, or a Tosis in Tainus, I forgot it anyway. Tosis in the first parak in Tainus, but Tosis quotes a Sifrei and that pasuk in Vorm. You should eat Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim, and you should learn. You should develop Yerushalayim. How do you develop Yerushalayim? Because you see Kohanim Avodasim Alevim B'Duchanam, so that'll have an impression on you, and you have Yerushalayim. So since the pasuk says that the reason why you have to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim is that it should develop Yerushalayim and the people who eat it. So therefore you need Dafke Yerushalayim. All other Kachim Kalim don't have to lead you to develop Yerushalayim. So you can eat Kachim Kalim theoretically in all Ayoras HaMekavos Chaim. Just technically it's not going to work because it'll be Nifsal B'Yotze. But Maaser Sheni Mi'ikra Din, you have to eat Dafke in Yerushalayim. It's usually assumed just the opposite from the Mabit. If anything, if you want to distinguish between the Mokam Achila of Kachim Kalim and the Mokam Achila of Maaser Sheni, so there's a ritva in Makkos where he suggests the opposite. On Yom Yerushalayim, we just observed Yom Yerushalayim 2 weeks ago, so we'll stack already. So he asked me to speak in Tinekat. So I spoke about this topic. So Menachem Zember was killed by the Nazis. So he was a businessman, and he was a Goyna. He knew all over. He knew there was a whole group of Polish businessmen who knew all the Bavlis, all Yerushalmis, all the Arsamefs, all the Rogachavis. They knew Kol HaTorah Kulam.
Who is this?
Rav Menachem Zember. He was a Polish Goyim, but he knew when he would talk and learning with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, he would talk Rav Chaim's language. When he would talk to a Galatiana, he would talk Galatiana style. When he talked to a Polish, he would talk a Polish style. He knew all the different styles of learning. He was a Goyim, a Goyim. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. He was killed in the Warsaw Ghetto. So so one of his friends, who was also a businessman, put out an edition of the Sefer Zuta with his Haoris on the bottom. All Haoris with Bikiyas, Mar Mekaymas, there are some Mechs, and Yerushalmi is unbelievable. So this Yoskevich is the one who put out the Sefer Zuta. So he sent the letter to Rav Menachem Zember, does he want to add some Haoris? So the Sefer Zuta begins on this pasuk, Shiloch Tmei Min Amachna. Sefer Zuta is only on Bamidbar so far. That's all they have. They don't have any more. The Sifrei is on Bamidbar and Dvar. Sifrei Zuta is from the basement Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Shmuel, as opposed to the regular Sifrei in basement Rosh Hashanah Rabbi Akiva. So the Sifrei Zuta begins from Shiloch Tmei Min Amachna, and it lists off the Eser Kedushas that appears in Perek Aleph and Maseches Kelim, and there are slight discrepancies between the text as it appears in the Mishnah, Perek Aleph and Kelim, as it appears in the Sifrei Zuta. So Menachem Zember wrote a whole kuntras, a 100-page kuntras, on the discrepancies. Why? How come there are discrepancies? We said over one of them about Bikurim, when the Mishnah says that Yerushalayim has more Kedusha, Eretz Yisrael. No, it says, the Mishnah says, Eretz Yisrael, Mikodesh is Mikol HaRatzais, Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to America. How do you know? Every din, the 10 levels of Kedusha. So the Mishnah gives you an afkamina ledina. Kedusha is not just abstract. Kedusha means there's more Kedusha, so therefore the din is different. So the Mishnah says, if you want to say Eretz Yisrael has more Kedusha than the rest of the world, how would you prove it? The whole list doesn't say anything like that. So it says three mitzvahs. The Omer has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. When you bring menachas, the chitim that you made the flour from didn't have to grow in Eretz Yisrael. If you have American chitim, it's also good. So the Mishnah has that din that most people never heard of, that the Omer has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. The Shtei Lechem, the Omer is from barley, and the Shtei Lechem is from wheat. Omer is brought on Pesach, Shtei Lechem is brought on Shavuos. So for the barley for the Omer, and the wheat for the Shtei Lechem has to have grown in Eretz Yisrael. Obscure dinim that no one ever heard of. Unless you learned Menachos, you know it. And then the two Gersons, whether it says Bikurim or it doesn't say Bikurim. Why don't they say the normal Dinim? So Rav Menachem Zemer has a whole essay, Rav Soloveitchik, he used to say that exactly the same as Rav Menachem Zemer. He didn't know what that Rav Menachem Zemer said it, but he said the same. So the... So Tosfos in Makkos has a kasha. There is a Gemara Sochem Daf Pehei that when you eat the Korban Pesach, you have to eat it on the ground level. If you have a hotel in Yerushalayim, you can't eat the Korban Pesach on the second floor, third floor, or the rooftop. Gagam Aliyah's land is kasha. You have to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level. So Tosfos has a kasha. They thought if Korban Pesach has to be eaten on the ground level, probably Maaseh Sheni also has to be eaten on the ground level. So there's a Gemara in Makkos in the third parak, where the Gemara talks about a fellow sitting on the branch of a tree. The tree is just on the border. Let's say here is Yerushalayim, and there are walls around Yerushalayim. There's a tree right where the wall is. So you can sit on the branches inside Yerushalayim, branches outside. So if the fellow is sitting on the branch outside Yerushalayim, he's not allowed to eat the Maaseh Sheni. It's Chutz Yerushalayim. If he's sitting on the branches in Yerushalayim, then he is allowed to eat. So Tosfos asks the Kasha, but you can't, you have to eat Korban Pesach on the ground level, how can you eat Maaseh Sheni on top of the tree? That's Tosfos' kasha. Gagam Aliyah's line is kasha. So some, so the Rashbon and Tshuva, Rachman Zemba quotes it. Now everybody, from Rachman Zemba's Kuntres, that's 100 pages long on the Esek Kedushas, everybody lifted the Reiter from there without telling, without saying the Shem Abra, that he gave all the Marmakarmas. Now it's already so Yodua. They stole everything already from Rachman Zemba. So now it doesn't pay to lift from him anymore, because everybody knows where you lifted it from. So he quotes, the Chuvas HaRashba holds that it's only a din in Korban Pesach, it doesn't apply to any other Kachim Kalim. So the whole Kasha of Taisa doesn't get off the ground. Others hold that it's only a din in Kachim Kalim, he can't eat it on the higher level. But Maisa Sheni, you don't need such a high level of... You can eat Maisa Sheni, Avir Yerushalayim wasn't as Kaddish, the Avir. You can eat the Maisa Sheni on top of the rooftops in Yerushalayim. Only Kachim Kalim. That's the opposite from the Kiryas Sefer. The Mabit and the Kiryas Sefer writes that you need a greater degree of Kedushas Yerushalayim to eat Maisa Sheni than you need to eat Kach Mekalim. And the Ritva writes the reverse. No. Kagam Aliyas, you may eat Maisa Sheni, you just can't eat Kach Mekalim, you can't eat there. Different opinions. Anyway, that's the Parsha of Shiloh Tameim, Min HaMachaneh. Right after that, the Torah has the din of Gezel Hager. Gezel Hager. If you stole from somebody, or if I didn't pay him the money, I owe someone money, and I swear, and he confronts me, and I swear falsely, I do not owe you the money. Then later on, v'hisvado is chatosam. Then later on, you admit that you swore falsely. So then the Torah says you have to give, let's say, you owe them $1,000. So you have to give the Karen the $1,000 and Chomish. Chomish, we would have thought Chomish is 20%. So the Gemara says Chomish means 25%. How is it called Chomish? If you give 100% the Karen and you add on 25%, so the 25% will be 1/5 of the 125%. That's not the way we speak, but that's what the Gemara said. That's what I mean. Chomish means 25%. So you give Karen v'chaymish, and then you have to bring Asham Gzeilos. That's in Vayikra, the end of Parshas Vayikra. And what happens, and you can't begin to bring the Asham Gzeilos until you first give the Karen v'chaymish. What happens if the person died, whom you stole the money from, you swore falsely you don't owe him the money, so you give it to his Yorshim. What happens to Main Lish Goyal, Hashif Hashem Eilach? What if the person doesn't have any relatives? The Gemara says, how is it possible a person doesn't have relatives? He doesn't have any children, so he has siblings. Doesn't have siblings, had a father. So the father, Yarshan, the father's not alive, so the father has brothers, they're cousins, there has to be. Everybody's dead, the whole Shevet is dead. How can it be? They're always 25th cousins, they're always relatives. So that's what the Gemara says, it must be a ger. A ger, Shen is gar, Kekot, Shen Oladomi, doesn't have any relatives. That's what some suggest. Where did the Tanan get such a wild idea that Gershon is God cut and Shanel Adam is not related to his relatives from before his conversion? So the Chassam Sofer says maybe from this pasuk, and he's not happy. He doesn't think that this pasuk is a good mock, you have to look for a mock. But that's the Poshim Shat, mainly Ishgad, Hashvah, Melov. It goes on against Lagir. Who do you give the Kerem HaChaimish to? So if the Gershon makes me the Yerushim, so you give the Karam Chaimish to the Kohanim. Which Kohanim? The Kohanim and the Beis HaMikdash. The day you come to the Beis HaMikdash and you're about to bring Hashem Gzeilos because he swore falsely that you don't owe the money, so you have to give the Karam Chaimish to the Anshei Kohanim or Anshei Mishmar that day, Anshei Mishmar. And then you're able to bring the Kohanim. You can't bring the Hashem Gzeilos before you give the Karam. Then the Torah has the din of Saita. The Torah has the din of a Saita. A Saita, there's a Saita Vada and a Saita Sufik. Saita Vada means, we know for a fact that the Eshishish was Insa. The Saita Vada, the Gemara says in Yavam, that there was a Loisesi. The Chumash says, and later, Chumash Rambam says, if a man is married, and Motzabo Erbaz Dover, and the Gemara learns that Dover Dover Mimamin, that means he has two Eidim who testify that his wife was Mezaneh, so that's a Sota Vadai. So he has to get rid of her. He has to divorce her. So if she married someone else, and then the second husband divorces her, or dies, so the first husband is not allowed to take her back because she's a seita, because matzah b'erev is dover. So that there's a lab. L'yichov erishon shilchah loshev l'kachta. Achrei ashehu tamah. Loshev l'kachta means matzah grushasa is aser, even if she wouldn't be a seita. Achrei ashehu tamah is because she's a seita. So the Gemara reads the pasuk as if there were a vav there. L'yichov b'al arishon, if the husband was married and divorced his wife, she married someone else, and then she got divorced from the second husband. The first husband is not allowed to remarry her. That's Mahsa Guru Shasai. Achari Asher Tamah, you read it as if it were written the Achari Asher Tamah. Or if the woman was Mazana, so then it's also the Yuchod Ba'al HaRishon Doshul Lekachta. He's not allowed to marry his wife, not allowed to remarry his wife, even if she didn't marry someone else in between. She's a Saita Vada. So Saita Vada, there's a love. The Yuchod Ba'al HaRishon Shoshulcha. And a Saita Safik, there's only an essay. There's no love, there's no malchus. If the husband lives with the wife, it's an iser v'nitma, v'nitma, v'nitma. The word v'nitma appears three times, and the Gemara understands v'nitma echad l'bal, v'echad l'bal, v'echad l'truma. That she's not allowed to live with her husband. Then number two, she's not allowed to marry the man with whom she had the affair. And number three, if she's a baskayan, if she was a baskayan, and the husband now divorces, if a baskayan marries a non-kayan, so Kolzman, she's married to the non-kayan, not allowed to eat truma. But if the husband divorces her, then she returns back to eat truma. She's allowed to eat truma. But if she's a baskayin shezinsa, and Esha says shezinsa, she becomes a zayna. A zayna is not allowed to eat truma. So that's what the Gemara says. The three times that the word v'nitmo appears, echal abal, echal abal, echal truma. That she's not allowed to live with the husband. It's only an iser essay. Not allowed to marry the boy. Sometimes when a woman gets divorced because she had an affair, so you have to write when the bezin, when the rabbanim take care of the get, so then they write a p'tur, they give the woman a p'tur. So in the p'tur they write, she's permitted to marry anybody she wants, except for a kohen. A grusha is not allowed to marry a kohen. And they'll add on, and except for the man with whom she had the affair. There was a ma'aseh shehaya. One of the students of Rav Moshe Feinstein had to get divorced because his wife had an affair with her dentist. And the student who was divorcing his wife was beginning to become very famous. He already passed away. He was world famous. If I would say the name, everybody would know who it was. So Rav Moshe did the get in his home, and then he didn't want to write in the p'tur that the woman had an affair. He wrote, you're not allowed to marry a kohen. But he didn't want to write that she's not allowed to marry the one with whom she had an affair with a Jewish dentist. He didn't want to write that because the husband was beginning to become very famous, and he became world famous, and he felt it'll be difficult for the children to get a shidduch if it'll become public knowledge that the mother had an affair. So he used to do the gittin in his own home, Rav Moshe. And there used to be two of his talmidim used to be there all day and all night by Rav Moshe for years and years and years. One of them was Elimelech Bluth, and one of them was Felder, Aaron Felder. Aaron Felder was Rabbi Gedalia Felder's son from Toronto. So Aaron Felder used to live here in the neighborhood, so he used to tell us over all the stories. So Rav Moshe felt that it would be difficult for them to get a shidduch. If someone's going to see that document, they're going to realize that the girl had an affair. So he took the girl into his a different room in his home. He made the girl swear to him. She was from a religious family. I remember her father was a very religious man. Her parents were very religious people. She had an affair with a Jewish dentist. So he made the girl swear to him that she's not going to marry the dentist. So Shain, that's enough. So he didn't put it into the document of the p'tur, and all the children got good shiduchim, world famous. Well, anyway, that's the parsha of Saita. The Gemara in the first daf of Masechta Saita has a machlokes satanaim. In order for the husband to bring his wife to the Beis Hamikdash, that she should drink the Mayim Hamarim, so the Gemara says you have to have kinoi ustira. Kinoi means the husband warns the wife, Altistre Mishploni, The husband suspects his wife that she's having an affair with someone else, and he warns her, I don't trust you. Make sure you're not having an affair with that fellow. You're a little too friendly with that person. And then there's stira. When the woman goes to a secluded place with the man that the husband was chashad rabiznus, and they have stira, yichud, so then the woman becomes asura bala if you have kinu yastira. The Balatanya has an interesting chiddush in the Shulchan Aruch Rav. Balatanya is of the opinion that stira is not identical with yichud. A different lahakam amahachmer. Stira means the wife with the person with whom she suspected of having an affair, they went into the room together. Let's say you have a big office and you have 300 people working in a law firm. By the end of the day, one by one, everybody leaves. Let's say at the end of the day, his wife is there, the wife that the husband is chosh in her business, the wife is there, and the man, and the other man is also there. But they didn't go in together into the room. There were 300 people working all day long, and little by little, everybody left. They were the last two ones, and they were there for 3 hours. After everybody else, they left. They violated yichud, but that's not called stira. The Balatanya has a chiddush. It's only called stira if they went into the room together. So in that sense, stira is there's room to be mekel. And the other sense, and the other din, let's say the husband is choshed his wife that she's having an affair with her father or with her brother, and the wife says, "You're crazy. You're paranoid. My father? What? I'm not having an affair. He's 25 years older than me. Not going to have an affair with her father." Not going to have an affair with her brother, so she's not violating, but the husband is choshed her business. So that's called kinui. That's called kinui. And even though she's mutter to have yichud with her father, her brother, but if she'll have the yichud, it'll asa the Bible, because that's called stira. Even though it's not a violation of yichud, that's called said. Stira is not the same as yichud. Bein l'haka bein l'hachma, there are differences. So in the first daf in Masechus Soita, there's a machlokes hatanoim. Three different opinions. When the husband comes to the Beis HaMikdash, how many witnesses does he have to have? The husband comes and he says, I was choshed my wife biznus, and I want her artistry in Mishploini, and she went and she violated, and I want her to drink the Mai Mamorim. So if it's all based on his word, he can't insist that she should drink the Mai Mamorim. He has to have Edom. So how many Edom do you need for what? So one Tana is of the opinion, eat to Edom for Kinui. But for stira, you don't need to wait him. The husband is believed on his own. The other Tana holds just the reverse. You need to wait him for the stira, and the husband is believed on his own that he made a kino. We pass on halacha like the third Tana, the Gemara says on the first half and second, we pass on like the third Tana, he can only bring it to the Beis HaMikdash and insist he should drink the Bai Ma'amarim if there were two Edom on the kino and two Edom on the stira. You have to have two Edom on each one. So there are two chubas in the Beis HaLevi regarding the need, one after the other, regarding the need for the two Edom for Kinyan Astira. Is this Edus L'Kiyam Adorah, Edus L'Bir Adorah? Let's say if a man gave a ring to a girl and says, Haret Mekudeshesli, there was nobody watching. There was an Eid Echad watching, or there was nobody watching. So then the Kedushin is not Chal. Even though the boy and the girl both admit that they wanted to get married, and he gave a ring and said, Haret Mekudeshes, it's not Chal. You have to have two kosher Edom watching. That's what we call Edus L'Kiyam Adorah. Rav Chaim coined that expression. Beis HaLevi talks about it, but he didn't have that terminology yet. Rav Chaim is the one who coined that terminology. What if a woman had an affair, a married woman has an affair with someone else? You don't need Edus L'Kiyam Adorah. You need Edus L'Bir Adorah to be married. But if we know that, let's say the husband walked in the middle, and he caught her in the middle of the act, having zus with someone else, so she becomes asura bailo. He knows that she's asura. You don't need Edus L'Kiyam Adorah over there. So that's what the Beis HaLevi discusses, whether it's Edus L'Kiyam Adorah or the Bir Adorah. Mai Naf Kemina. What if the husband knows on his own that he warned her, but there were no Edom when he warned her? So the Shaila was written to Rav in the Beis HaLevi. It doesn't say who it was written to. So Rav Soloveitchik, who's a great-grandson of the Beis HaLevi, he was the first great-grandchild to be named after the Beis HaLevi, Yosha Ber Soloveitchik. So he said the tshuva was written to Rav Loza Moshe Horovitz. He was the Rav in Pinsk. If you look in the back of the film, the Shas, and many Mesichtas, they have Chidushim Rav Loza Moshe Horovitz. So there was a certain Talmud Chacham who would sometimes come to his home to visit when he was traveling from one place to the other. and he and Rabbi Elazar Moshe didn't like him. So one day he was going away, and he told his wife, "If that rabbi comes, don't let him. Don't be kind to him. I can't stand him. Don't let him in the house. I don't like him. He's a balgai or whatever." So the rabbi came, and the wife was embarrassed not to let him into the house. So she let him into the house. She gave him tea and cake, and then he left. So the husband was afraid that maybe he warned his wife, don't let the guy in the house. And then the wife told him that she let him into the house. There were no two edim on the kinui. There were no two edim on the stira. But maybe it's only, maybe the need for edim is only the bira adab. Maybe it's not the kiyam adab. And maybe if the husband knows that he warned her, don't let him into the house, and the wife admits that she let him into the house, maybe the, maybe she becomes asurabal. So the Beis Halevi has a whole tshuva. The last paragraph in the second tshuva, the last paragraph, he says, the whole issue of Saita doesn't apply over here. The husband was never choshed the wife is nus. He just said, I don't like him. I don't like the person, so don't let him in the house. Don't be kind to him. Tell him I'm not home and don't let him in. But he was never choshed his wife is nus. So the whole issue is a dead issue. There's nothing to discuss. But the whole, the first tshuva until the last paragraph of the second tshuva, he talks about what's the Geder Hadin. They came up with this Chiddush that maybe Eidus by the Kinoi is Lekiyam Hadover and Eidus on the Stira is Lebir Hadover. And this explains that Yerushalmi, there's a lot, it's a rich topic. Is it Eidus Lekiyam Hadover, Eidus Lebir Hadover? This is, we usually have a rule, Ein Simchem Al Anes. Ein Samcham Al Anes is a discussion in Gemara Pesachim. When you bring the Korban Pesach, a Pesach Nechal B'Sholosh Kitos. That you bring the Korban Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash with a whole group of people three different times. On Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after Chatzos. So first they would have a whole group bring the Korban Pesach, then a second group, then a third group. Each group has to have at least 10 people. Call A the Visa, the three psukim, the Gemara says. So everybody wants to be in the first group. Everybody wants to do Zuiz Magdim and the Mitzvahs. So there's a Machlekes in the Gemara. Do you have to lock the gates? When the Bezin sees that there are too many people coming in by the first group, they should lock the gates to make sure that there'll be at least 20 people left. 10 for the second cut and 10 for the third cut. Or no? Samcham al anes, you'll assume that min hashamayim, they'll take care of it. Not everybody will come in the first time. So we paskin, ain't samcham al anes. You don't wait till the gates close by themselves miraculously. The gates to the Beis HaMikdash that are going to prevent more people to come in. The Gemara quotes a lashon from the Mishnah. When they used to lock the gates, the Bezin used to lock the gates, or the gates locked themselves miraculously by themselves. So the Gemara said the correct here says the Bezin locked the gates because they some chamal anes. You can't rely on the miracle that the gates are going to lock on their own. The Bezin has to see to it that the HaPesach nishchad b'sholosh kitas. That's ain't some chamal anes. The one and only place in the whole Torah where the Torah tells us to rely on the nes is the Maim HaMarim. There's no poison in the Maim HaMarim. It tastes bitter. You put in a vegetable that's going to cause it to have a bitter taste. You put in a little sand from the Karkam Mishkan, but the sand is not poisonous. There's no reason that the woman should die. So it's a miracle. If the woman dies, it's a miracle. So that's the one and only place where the Torah says we should rely on the miracle. The Torah promises the miracle will happen. The coin is Mashbiya, the woman. V'hishbiya ha-koin, it's in Pasuk Yutes in chapter 8. V'hishbiya ha-koin oisa v'yomar. Im lo shach ha-vish oisach, if he did not sin, hinoki, nothing will happen. V'at kisotis, and if he did sin, tachas hishach, then you should drop dead. Then you should get sick and you should drop dead. So Tosfos is bothered with Akasha. Whenever you make something while at Tanai, so you have to have Tanai kofel, you have to say the hen and the lav. Let's say I say Harei Mukodeshesli if it rains tomorrow, and I have to add on, and if it doesn't rain, Harei Iyat Mukodeshesli. You have to say the positive and the negative. That's the Machlokes HaTanaim. That's how we pass them. And then you have to say the positive before the negative. So here, the Kohen says the negative before the positive. So if you're innocent, you didn't sin, then nothing will happen. And if you're guilty, if you did sin, then you're going to drop dead, miraculously, even though she didn't have any poison. So Tosis is bothered with the kasha. It's lav kainim lahen. And whenever you make a tanai, he's making the woman take a shvua, accepting the curse that he gives her, ala tanai. And the curse is presented first to lav and then. So Tosis answers that hen kainim lalav doesn't depend on what's the positive, what's the negative. It depends what is the preferred outcome. The preferred outcome is that the woman should turn out to be innocent. You don't want the woman should be guilty. So since that's the preferred outcome, so that's called the hen. So that's why he said, that's the preferred outcome. So the Taz, who has a commentary on Arba Chelka Shulchan Aruch, has a sefer on Pirush Rashi Ala Torah, like the Mizrahi, like the Gurariye. So the Taz, I forgot, I think it's called Dibidot. So in the Hakdomeh to the Taz on Yerideya, he asks a kasha on that thesis, and he writes in his sefer here that the printer left out the teretz. He complains when they printed his commentary on the Yerideya, the printer left out the teretz. The kasha is, how can thesis say it depends on the preferred outcome? The Gemara talks in Gittin, the Gemara talks about a man is on his deathbed, and he doesn't have any children, so the wife is going to need chalitza. He doesn't want his wife to have to go through with the whole, let's say, his brother is a miserable person. He's going to give his wife a hard time until he's going to give her the chalitza. He's going to charge her a fortune of money. So the husband wants to divorce his wife because he loves the wife, so he wants to give her a gift. But if he doesn't, he's on his deathbed. But if the doctors succeed in keeping him alive, he doesn't want to be divorced. So he gives his wife a get, ala tarai. So he says, if I die, if I die because of this sickness, the surgery that they're going to give me is not going to be successful, I want the get to be chal right now. So he can't give a get that should be chal after you die. So he says, if it's going to turn out that I'm going to die from this sickness and the doctors will not be able to save my life, I give you the get that should be chal now. And if it turns out I don't die, the get should not be chal. So the Gemara says, he's going to say like that, if I die from this sickness, he doesn't want to say like that. He wants to say, if I don't die, the get should not be meaningful, because he hopes that's what's going to be. So he says first, if I don't die, if I survive, the get is meaningless. I don't want to give you a get. And if I do die, then I want the get to take effect right now. So the Gemara says, but that's no good, because you have to have hen kaidim lalab. And he said, lab kaidim lahen. He said, if I don't die, if I won't die, the get should be not valid. So that's the lav. So the Taz says, but according to the Tesis and Kiddushin, the tzad that you want to happen is called the hen. So here he wants that he should survive and the get should not be valid. So why does the Gemara say? The Gemara says when the man gives a get, Shechemira has to say three times. He says, if I survive, I don't want the get to be chal, because lemak neminish poranusa lenapshe. It's not nice to say if I die. He would rather not die. So he first says, if I survive, if I don't die, the get should not be valid. And then he says, if I die, the get should be chal today. And if I don't die, the get should not be chal. That's to say three times. The first time, because not the heretz to speak about yourself dying. You hope you're not going to die. But then you need the hen kaidim lalav, so you got to say three times. So the Taz asks the kasha, it's a violation of hen kaidim lalav. It's against that Taisus. That's what he is, against that Taisus. So in Yerideya, we have the Hakdama of the Taz to his commentary. So they have this kash, and they don't give any teretz. And the Sefer HaChumash has no HaChumash, from Bereshit till the end. Most of the things that he have are misprints in Rashi. He says, it's a misprint in Rashi. Every so often he has a Chiddush that there's a misprint in Rashi. Not so poshut. And over here, he has a whole Arichas. So I thought the answer is like this. I thought the Taz doesn't say this answer. I thought by the get, the hen is the get should be chal. If I die, the get should be chal. That's the hen. You can't say if I survive, if the doctors will be successful in keeping me alive, I don't want the get to be chal. That's the lav. You have to say the hen kaidim lalav. But here by the soita, both of them are hen, because the pasuk says, if she was innocent, she's going to have a baby. if she wasn't able to have babies before, now she'll have babies. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara. If she had difficulty in labor, so now because the husband put her through this whole rigmarole, so she'll be able to have babies benachas. She won't have any difficulty, won't have pain when she has the labor. It'll be healthier for her. And if she's guilty, then she's going to die miraculously. So either way, a miracle is going to happen. So they're both hen. So Tosfos says, if they're both hen, if she's innocent, the miracle is going to happen. Nixav and Izra Zarab, she didn't have any children till now. Married 35 years. She's going to have a baby after 35 years of marriage. And if she's guilty, she's going to die miraculously. Either way. So then Tosfos says, the one that you want, that's called the hen. But by the get, only one side is the hen. If it turns out that the husband survives, there's no get, so there's no hen at all. Not that the preferred outcome is always the hen. If both stud, if something is going to happen, then the preferred outcome is the hen. That's what I thought the teretz was. Taz doesn't give that teretz. Anyway, that's the parsha of Soita. Right after Soita, you have the parsha of Neder. Isha, the parsha of Nazir. Isha, Isha, Kiyaf, Lilinda, Dada, Nazir, Laz, Hashem. A woman can also become a Nazir. The Pasuk says explicitly, and the Mishnah talk about it. If the wife took a neder naziris, can the husband be made for the neder? There's an institution of Harsendorf. So the Torah has all of the dinim of naziris over here. The Rambam learns pshat in the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Nazir, and the Rambam learns pshat in the Mishnah. Tosfos does not learn like the Rambam, but the Rambam learns pshat in the Mishnah. That's a person says, I accept upon myself naziris starting from right now, naziris for 30 days. Then he says, my wife is expecting a baby. I accept upon myself a neder and naziris, starting from the day that the baby is born. The baby is born 15 days into the first naziris. So do you say you have overlap? You have overlap. Last 15 days, each naziris, let's say, is 30 days. It could be 50 days, it could be 150 days, it could be 5 years. A minimum of 30 days. And stam naziris is shloshim yom. So the Rambam learns pshat in the Mishnah, you can't have overlap. You can't say, the first 30 days is naziris for the neder that he said, I want to become a nazir right now. And the second naziris overlaps the last 15 days in the first neder naziris. His wife had a baby on the 15th day of the first naziris. So they have overlap. It's olah l'tana l'kam. So the Rambam says, you can't have that. Each naziris has its own malos, and you can't say that the days are olah l'tana l'kam. There is no such thing. So there's an opinion in the Mordechai, in Maseches Ma'ikotni, you have all the dinim in Perek Elam Megalchen. You have all of the dinim of Avelus. There is an opinion, we don't pass them like this in Shulchan Aruch, we're Mekel, because whenever there's a Machlokes in Hilchas Avelus, we always go to Kulam. So there is an opinion, Rav Soloveitchik liked to say over this opinion, Zalom Deshir, Apala Tesis has like this, that let's say a person is sitting Shiva because his father died. Then the mother dies in the middle of the Shiva for the father. So can you say that the same days are olah l'kan olah l'kan? So the Mordechai quotes an opinion from the Balei HaTosfos that just like by Naziris, there's a malos means a period of time superimposed on the calendar. Let's say a person is a Nazir for 30 days, or for 50 days, or 100 days, but however long it is. So that's called a malos. It's not calendaric days. He superimposes it. A person is a Zava. So they need Shiva Nekim. So that's a malos that's superimposed on the calendar. Or Avelus. These things are malos. So that's what the Mordechai understood from the Mishnah in Nazir. He understood it like the Rambam, not like the other Balei HaTosfos on the Daf in Nazir. That you can't superimpose one malos on top of the other if they're both malos and in the same area. Let's say a woman is sitting Shiva and she's counting Shiva Nekim for Ziva. They're unrelated. But if one is sitting Shiva for one relative, then another relative dies in the middle, so there was an opinion, we don't accept it, there was an opinion that the second malos can't be superimposed on top of the first malos. After the first Shiva is over, then you start counting the second Shiva. Just like by the Naziris, that the Rambam understood Pshat and Mishnah, you can't superimpose the second Naziris on top of the first Naziris. The Gemara has a comment on the smichas of the two parshias. First, you have the parsha Soita, and right after the parsha Soita, you have the parsha of Nazir. A Nazir, in a certain sense, is an ascetic. is practicing asceticism. He's not going to drink wine. Is that the right thing today to do? So the Gemara says he needs kapara shotzir atzmen min ayayin. It's not right. The Rabbanu Shlom brought us into the world, and the Mesillas Yeshayahu quotes this line from the Talmud Yerushalmi, that every person is also litin es adin lachamer yes mishana. We're all going to have to give a din v'cheshma why we didn't enjoy all the hanoras of Adam Azeh. Rabbi Shalom made food that's tasty, and you go touring, visit the Swiss Alps, and you go all over the world. There's so many hanoras in this world, so Rabbi Shalom wants us to enjoy Adam Azeh. So the Nozer is not doing the right thing. One Tata says, Asher Tzir Atzma Men Ayayin. But we recommended, Haroya Saita Bilkal Kuli Azer Atzma Men Ayayin. But if you see a woman as a Saita, how did she become a Saita? She was probably drinking with friends, and she got drunk, and then she forgot that you're not allowed to have relations with someone other than your own husband. So if a person lives in such a society where you should always enjoy Olam Hazeh, but if you live in a society where there's Saitas, there are people getting into trouble because they're drinking, so that's recommended. You should take a net in the Zeris. So the Rambam has a long arichas about this. The Rambam in Hilchas Deis writes that the Halachta Bidrachov is one of the most important mitzvahs. The Rambam lists off the list of the Taryag mitzvahs. So he said the first mitzvah would believe in God, believe in one God. We love God, we fear God, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem. And then we daven every day after. Daven once a day, every day, Minat Torah. And then he says, "V'halachta b'drachav," to go in the ways of Hashem. What are the ways of Hashem? The Rambam says, not to be an extremist, not to one extreme, not to the other extreme. You have to go b'derech hamamutza. So Shaddal was a Jewish philosopher. He was an Italian. And he was upset why the Rambam quoted so much from Aristotle over here. The whole Rambam, but going b'derech hamamutza, is straight from Aristotle. So he said, it's not right. The Rambam, the rest of the Rambam is all Gemaras, all Psukim, all Gemaras, all Halachas. Why did he put a whole chunk of Aristotle? So the Maritz Chayis, in addition to the comment that he has in the back of the Gemara, in the back of every Mesichta, the Maritz Chayis, they put together two volumes that's called Kol Kisvei Maritz Chayis. So he has a whole essay to defend the Rambam from Shaddal's attack. Shaddal's name was Shmuel David Luzzatto, I think. I remember when we were... I think when we were touring in Italy a few years ago, we were touring in Italy, it was the middle of the 9 days, when you're not supposed to listen to music. So they organized that we're going to have a concert by two brothers, descendants of Shaddal. The name was Luzzatto. So we said, how are you going to have a concert in the 9 days? So it turned out it wasn't a musical concert. They were singing piyutim. They were singing, they weren't playing, and they were singing piyutim, Italian piyutim that we never heard of. And they were explaining to us what the words mean and what the kavana is and everything. That was the concert that we had in the 9 days. That was mutta, yeah. So the Maritz Chayis has in one of his essays, in the Kol Kisvei Maritz Chayis, he has, the Rambam quoted everything from Aristotle, but it's based on this Gemara. The Gemara says, why do we have Nedorim Nozer Saita? Why is it in that order in the Mishnayos? Because in the Chumash it's in that order. Nedorim Nozer Saita, one next to each other in the Chumash. Naziris is a form of Isha Isha Kiaflin and Nezer Nozer Lahazel Hashem. So Nedorim and Naziris go together, and Saita is connected with them. Harai Saita Bikilkuli, Yazaratzman Menayayin. So the Rambam says if you live in a society where Geneva is very rampant, you should bend over backwards not to go to Derech HaMamutzah. You should bend over backwards always to give, whenever there's a doubt, as far as who's entitled to money, you should always be Mevata the money. In America, there's so much Geneva going on, so you should always bend over backwards. You go to Derech HaMamutzah whenever it's only recommended when it's reasonable. But if you live in a society where everybody's at the other extreme, so then you have to go to the other extreme until you even everything out. So that's what the Maritz Chai says. The Rama got the idea from the Gemara, and then that's why he quoted Aristotle's description of how to do it, because this part of Aristotle was approved by the Gemara. then the end of the Sedra has about after Moshe Rabbeinu completed building the Mishkan. So the Shivas Yimei HaMiluim were the last 7 days in the month of Adar, and Yom HaShmini LeMiluim was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan is when the first 12 days or the first 13 days I forgot already the first 13 days when the Nisiyim brought the Karbonos LeChanukah HaMishkan, right? I think the 13 days Yom Shnei Mosa, no, only 12. What happened? Oh, Shevet Levi didn't bring. I forgot already. Shevet Levi didn't bring. So Menashe and Ephraim were two, and Shevet Levi didn't bring. So the this was all the Hayroah Shor. These special Kavanas Hayroah Shor. So the Ramban has on Chumash a very interesting comment. He says, the specific Kavanas that they brought, and it was for 12 days, and they brought the Kavanas on Shabbos. The Shabbos in the middle. It's a Korban Shezman HaKavua. They were Dechel Shabbos to bring these Korbanos. The Ramban says, this was all Hayroah Shor. This doesn't apply. Every time you build a Beis HaMikdash, there's a din, you bring this. No, but he says, he thinks this is one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. Whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, there's an obligation to celebrate who should bring which Korbanos and which Chazan should bring which Nigan, which should sing which Nigan with how big a choir and which rabbi should give a shiur for how long. That's Hayroah Shor. That you have to work out the details. But in principle, that whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, we haven't built so many Bat Mikdashim. Whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, you have to celebrate. So the Ramban thinks that's one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. He has it here in Chumash, the end of Parshas Nosah. Then he repeats it in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Again, he writes it both times. The Pashtus is that Ramban's comment is the basis of the whole institution of the Gilas Tainus. The Zman Baisheni, every other week there was another holiday. Sometimes the holiday, there were around between 20 and 30 holidays. Some of the holidays were 1 day, some of the holidays were 3 days, 8 days. And after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, all of the holidays became Batel except for Chanukah and Purim. That's called Megillas Tainus. The Megillas Tainus was written down, Rashi writes, the Masechah Shabbos. Why is it called Megillas Tainus? It starts Nisan year 7, starts from Nisan, and it lists off all the holidays, what the historical background was for the holidays. They all have to do with when the Chashmonaim were victorious in battle, so they would make a Yontif. Why? Because they saved the Beis HaMikdash from defilement or from destruction. Or when someone made a major donation in the Beis HaMikdash. Or when the Tzedukim, they didn't accept the traditions of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they used to bring the Karbonos incorrectly on Yom Kippur and other times of the year. They brought in Shavuos, they always brought them a Sof on a Sunday. They always celebrated this year's Shavuos happened to be turned out on a Sunday. But it can just as well turn out any other day of the week. And the Tzedukim insisted, no, you have to count Sheva Shabbos as Tzmimos. And Machos HaShabbos, they start counting Sphira from Sunday to Shabbos. Sunday to Shabbos, 7 weeks. And Shavuos is always an extended weekend. Shavuos is always on a Sunday. So when the Chachamim was successful, there were many years that the Bayi Sheni was run by the Tzedukim, and they were bringing the Karbonos improperly. So when they were successful in straightening out the whole mess in the Beis HaMikdash, every time they made a Yontif, all the Yom Tov, that's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, the whole long sugya, Daf Yud Ches, all the Yom Tov, Mam Begilas Tainus, all revolve about the Beis HaMikdash. When they spared the Beis HaMikdash from destruction or from defilement, or someone made a major donation, Nicanor, Yom Nicanor. There was a fellow Nicanor, a Jewish person, who donated gates to the Beis HaMikdash, and it made it beautiful. So, all the Yom Tov have to do with the improvement of the Beis HaMikdash, improvement of the institutions of the Beis HaMikdash. So, the whole idea of making a Yom Tov to celebrate on the occasion of improving the Beis HaMikdash is all based on this Ramban HaChumash. And that's why we lay these aliyahs on Chanukah. That's the Kriyas HaTorah on Chanukah. There's a Tshuva Sefer that's called Galya Masechta. The Gemara says in Erevin, Dovid Amel, Vahid Dovid Achol Derachel Maska V'Hashem Imoi. Is a pasuk about David HaMelech. Then it says about Shaul, Vayishol L'chol D'Racha of Marshia, Shaul was not successful and David was successful. The Gemara says they both gave shiurim. So when David gave the shiurim, he was very successful. And Shaul was not successful. Gemara says why? Because David was Galya Masechta. And Shaul was not Galya Masechta. What does that mean? It's very unclear. So one pshat the Miri has over there, Galya Masechta, David gave out Marmakamis in advance. He told the Talmidim what Marmakamis to prepare. So they were prepared to the teeth. And then when he delivered the shear, so they understood and they would argue with him. There was a pulpula shalter. And because Shaul didn't give Marmakamis in advance, so that's why he was not successful, because they didn't follow the shear, and then no one was pilpuling with him. The more correct is, you should be Galya Masechta. I never know what I'm going to talk about the next day, said that. But more correct is, you're supposed to give Marmakamis with the public in advance. So that's why this Rabbi David Novardiker, he was the rabbi, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Chaim Alojana. In the early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, Rabbi David Novardiker, he called his tshuva sefer Galya Masechta, because he felt that he was very successful. Not everybody agrees. He felt he was very successful in working out his psukim. So in the Galya Masechta, he writes, when you build the shul or you build a new Beis Medrash, there's a mitzvah in a Torah to have a Chanukah Sabayis, because a Beis HaMedrash, a Beis HaKnesses, is referred to in the Pasuk as Mikdash Miyat. So some Rishonim say, many Rishonim say it's only an Asmachta. That's not really what it means. But the Yireim, Rav Lezer Militzin, and the Yireim, and so on, the Rambam seem to hold that's what the Pasuk is referring to. But the Knesses of Bati Midrashas are considered Mikdash Miyat. So just like when you build a real Beis HaMikdash, a full-fledged Beis HaMikdash, there's a mitzvah in the Torah to celebrate Chanukah HaMikdash. So too, when you build a yeshiva, there's a mitzvah to celebrate Chanukah HaBayis on the Beis Medrash or the Beis HaKnesses. So remember, when Breuer built the new Beis HaMedrash, Rabbi Perlow's father, Rabbi Perlow at that time, Rabbi Yaakov Perlow, was the Rosh Yeshiva in Breuer's at that time. His father was still alive. His father was another Minsky Rebbe. So his father spoke at the occasion, and he said a whole pilpul on Korban Toida. And at the time, on Perakat Toida, in Menachos, the end of Menachos, Perakat Toida. At the time, I didn't think about it. Many years later, I asked Rabbi Perlow once. I hardly ever saw him afterwards. He moved out of the neighborhood. So I met him at, we used to meet each other at weddings. So I met him at a wedding and I asked him, you remember? He didn't remember. He remembered that his father said a pilpul. He didn't remember on what. So I reminded him, and your father said, on Perakat Toida. Do you know why he chose Perakat Toida? Was that the Daf Yomi then? Or was it because of the, when you mechanech, when you make Chanukah Hazara, you have to bring a Korban Toida? So maybe he chose to talk about Korban Toida because of that Galya Masechta, that when you celebrate in Chanukah HaBayis of a Beis HaMedrash or Beis HaKnesses, it's also a mitzvah in HaTorah. He can't bring a Korban Toida, but he can do neshama for himself. He can talk about a Korban Toida. See, he said he didn't even remember what topic his father said the Shira. He didn't remember why. He didn't remember. He didn't know why. But it could be that that's why. The Nazir is not allowed to drink wine, and it says, V'chol mishvas anovim lo yoichal. What is the word mishvas anovim lo yoichal? So the Gemara says, shore pita bayayin. If you have a cup of wine and you put a piece of challah in, so the challah will absorb some of the wine. And even if you squeeze out all the droplets of wine, when you're going to eat the challah, it's going to have the flavor of the wine in it. So the Gemara says, one tana is of the opinion, that word mishvas anovim, shore pita bayayin, that's the mocker for the din of tam kiikar. That even though I have a little ingredient, a treif ingredient in the food, but it should be bottled berayv. It should be bottled berayv. It's less than 50%. Less than 50% should be bottled, but because it's nice and tam, because it affects the flavor, the taste of the whole michael, so that, therefore the din is that it's not bottled. So one tana says, Rashi paskens tam kiikar lab deraisa, but we paskens shulchan aruch tam kiikar is deraisa, and one tana holds that is based on this pasuk, mishvas anovim. In the beginning of the parsha, it's a continuation of the end of Parshas Bamidbar, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to count up each group, Gershon Kohasa Merari, it first starts here, Shvi in Parshas Bamidbar, Le'er Shabbos, says, Nasos Rosh B'nei Kohos. Then this week said it begins, Nasos Rosh B'nei Gershon. Then you have a later, Nasos B'nei Merari, we'll count it. So it says for each one, Gershon Kohasa Merari, it says for each one, what was their responsibility? What did they have to carry when they were traveling in the Midbar? And then Ben-Based Masos, the 42 cities that they stopped off at, so what was their responsibility? So it says that Gershon, so the Sedra begins, Nasa begins, but B'nai Gershon. So Gershon had the responsibility to carry Meisrehem, Seidosam and Meisrehem. What is Seidosam and Meisorim? So Rashi on the Pasuk quotes from the Braisa of Meleches HaMishkon, seems to be a Braisa from the days of the Tanoim, that the chotzer, you had krushim for the Mishkan. Those were wooden krushim. But then the chotzer around it had yerias, had curtains. So if the wind will blow, so the yerias will be flying in the air. So they had to have yisedas, are pegs that you bang in the ground, meisorim are strings. So they had to tie on, the meisorim, the strings, on the bottom of the curtains and bang a peg into the ground to make sure that the yerios should not flap in the wind. Why do you have to make sure it doesn't flap in the wind? Because that's halacha, that a mechitza sheinuchal alamed baruch mitzuya doesn't have a din of a mechitza. The azara only has kedusha if you have mechitzas there. You have to have mechitzas. So the Gemara has halacha. The Gemara never says where it's learned out from. So that's what some suggest. It's learned out from these psukim. The reason why you need these sedus and meisrehem, you need the strings and the pegs to bang it in the ground, that it shouldn't wave in the air. That's why Shulchan Aruch says you shouldn't use cloth for the fanus of the sukkah because you may not tie it down well on the bottom. You should use wooden walls or use stone walls. Let's say use the walls of the buildings for the walls of the sukkah. If you're going to have cloth walls, if it won't be tied down on the bottom, so it's going to be flapping in the wind, it won't be any good. So some suggest that it's learned out from this pasuk. What does it mean, flapping in the wind? So that's a big machloikis, everybody against the chazanish. So everybody assumes, let's say you have a doifen of a sukkah, and it's waving, bellowing back and forth, but even when it waves, it's always 10 tefachim tall, and the bottom of the sheet is within 3 tefachim to the ground, so it's lavud. So everybody assumes that's no good. If the walls are waving back and forth, it's no good. The Chazon Ish thinks not so. The only time it's no good is if it's going to wave and it won't be within 3 tefachim to the ground, or it'll wave and it won't be 10 tefachim tall. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael it's very common when the army goes from one location to the other on an Erev Shabbos, and they have to put up an Erev quickly. It takes a long time till you make an Erev. You have to bang poles, and you have to put strings and so on. So they have gigantic nets. They use the nets, unfortunately, to catch people, to trap the Palestinian terrorists. So they take gigantic nets, and they go, in order to be allowed to carry on Shabbos, you have to have mechitzas around the whole army camp. So they take the nets, and they start from one tree to the other tree, if there are trees there. They put it around all the trees. So when the wind will be blowing in one direction, the net is very long. So the net will be waving like this. It will be bellowing like that. The net is still going to be on the ground, and it's crisscross, so everything is lovered and lovered. And even if the wind will blow it this way, that way, the other way, however, whatever direction the wind will blow, it's still going to be, the bottom of the net will still be on the ground. Even if it goes like that, it's a very tall net. So they don't put it the highest possible thing. You only need 10 tefachim tall. So the Chazon Ish holds that that's good, and the Mishnah Berurah assumes everybody holds it's no good. So the Chazon Ish has a style. Whenever he's coming up with the original Chiddush, and it's not accepted, so he writes a Lashon, Mistimas Divrei HaPoskim Mashma. Beferish, not so. He writes it, Mistimas Divrei HaPoskim Mashma, and comes up with his Chiddush. He has no Mokka, but he thinks that that's the Pshat. So the army relies, army is a Shas HaPchak. So the army, they all rely on the Chazon Ish on this issue. Okay, we should all be healthy. So we will meet the B'nai Neder on Sunday, I think. Regular Shiur on Sunday, if there'll be people here. Okay. Sunday is regular time, 12 o'clock, I think. Yeah. 12 o'clock. Very good.